We are here today at Seacrest Studios at Chalk Children's with Mary Warden, a speech pathologist with the Cleft Palate team here at Chalk, and Dr. Jason Toronto, a craniofacial and plastic surgeon at Chalk Children's. They're here to speak a little bit more about the important ties between speech pathology and cleft palate. So welcome to you both.
So good morning, Mary. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. Thank you so much for coming and spending the morning with us.
Appreciate it.
You're obviously an expert in speech pathology, and you're an active member of our cleft team, which is wonderful because you really get engaged with a lot of our kids and see them from birth through really their teenage years, right? Can you talk a little bit about which kids really need speech, from the cleft lip kids or the cleft palate or both, and sort of where that starts?
We actually start working with all of the kids unless they have cleft lip only. We work with all of the kids starting at about 6 months of age. And the reason we do that is we do evaluations about every 6 months for the first couple of years. Just like when a child goes to the pediatrician for their well baby check, we're kind of doing those well checks through our evaluations to make sure they're hitting all those developmental milestones for speech and language. And a lot of people think that, oh, those little clefts in the back aren't going to be as much of an issue. But actually, those children who have a smaller cleft can have just as much impact on their speech as kids that have a complete cleft palate and have a larger defect, because the small defects of the palate in the back is in the key area where speech production is affected the most.
So for parents, sort of restated, if I were a father with a child that had a cleft palate specifically, any kind of cleft palate, I really need to be focused on getting this child to you starting at about 6 months of age. Is that
absolutely
what I'm hearing?
Absolutely. We start looking at the first couple of evaluations. Obviously, we're working with the kids, but we're also getting a lot of information from the parents. Those first couple of years, the kids are going to respond better to mommy, daddy, grandma, grandpa, those family members that they see on a daily basis, better than they are to all of us. But we're the ones that help the parents tease out what those kids should be doing in spite of their cleft and what might be hard for them at that point in, because of the cleft, and then let them know what they can focus on to keep facilitating that speech and language development.
So can you talk about that a little bit? Because I think that's really, if I would be very interested in that as a parent, right? If I had a child who had a cleft, I would want to know the things that the sort of things that child was saying that were correct, and the things that child was saying that maybe I could help correct and help improve the speech. What can I do at home that's going to improve that child's speech when they're not sitting in your office?
Right. Speech is a complicated process of breathing and turning your voice on and off, as well as what you do with your lips and your tongue and your palate and your jaw, and being able to coordinate all those different systems. And when there is a problem with any one level of that system, then kids learn to compensate inappropriately by overworking or underworking a different aspect of one of those parts of the speech system. And then if you have some of our kids who have maybe some hearing loss on top of that, it's another layer of difficulty. So the palate has to be able to close completely so that we can get lots of that good airflow, hold it in your mouth and pop it out or explode it out slowly to get a p sound or a b sound or a sh sound. And when the palate doesn't work or the kids are using those systems inappropriately, they can't produce those speech sounds.
So just to sort of take that further, if I were listening to my child and my child couldn't say pepperoni pizza well, that would be a problem. That would be sort of a key thing I would be listening for. Is that right?
Yes. But I've also seen a lot of kids over the years that can't say pepperoni pizza, not because the palate doesn't work, but because the child has never learned how to use the palate. There's some misconceptions with some families that will think that, well, the doctor fixed it, so now they should be able to talk. But nobody told the kids that. You know, so yes, the doctor changed the anatomy and everything is much more functional now, but now the child has to learn how to change the habits and patterns that they were using so that they're making the best and most efficient use of their speech. So sometimes kids can't say pepperoni pizza because the palate doesn't work, and sometimes they can't say it just because they don't know how to do it yet.
Okay, and so these children, what ends up happening is they come to you, they see you at 6 months, they become a 2-year-old, they become a 4-year-old, they get into kindergarten, they get into first grade, second grade. So now they get a lot of speech therapy at school as well, right? So the parents are sort of interacting between the CLEF team and interacting at school and trying to coordinate that. What can the parents do to help their children, and what do they need to be looking out for in terms of that interaction with speech at school?
Our job as the team speech pathologist is we start off as being their primary therapist. When we're doing those evaluations, when we start therapy, it's usually close to 2 years of age if that child needs therapy, and then hopefully get them as ready as we can by the time they get to kindergarten. If they still need some therapy, sometimes we're still actively involved in their therapy process, but sometimes we now become the wearer of a different hat, so to speak, and we're now the liaison between the school district therapist and the team. So the doctors on the team are looking to us to figure out if this child needs a surgery or not, but the speech pathologists in the school districts don't have a lot of experience working with kids with CLEF, so they don't know what should or shouldn't be necessarily medically related. And so for the parents to stay a strong advocate for their kid, to make sure their child stays connected with those periodic evaluations with the team speech pathologist, if there are questions, make sure that the team therapist and the school therapist have that good collaboration so that they can communicate. And then the speech therapist on the team can give the speech therapist in the school some advice and guidance on what else they can do so that they can keep facilitating that speech development.
So what I'm sort of hearing from you is that the speech development and the time that that child is at speech is just as important as that child is in English class, or that child is in math class, or that child's in PE, in the same way as when parents go to school to check up and see all the teachers and go through everything, they also need to be considering this as an equal part of that and making sure to keep tabs on it so that they can help facilitate that interaction between you and the school. Is that
absolutely
right?
Absolutely. And children that have, there's a lot of research in our field that show that children with speech and language difficulties can have some academic difficulties. There's also evidence to show that kids can have some social issues when people can't understand them. So it affects them academically, it affects them socially, it affects all aspects of their life when they're not a good communicator.
And so if they are having a difficult time communicating, and they're really having a tough time, not just sort of mild errors, but a very difficult time, when do you start thinking, okay, it's really time to bring them to the team? When do the parents need to run the flag up the flagpole and say, okay, there's a major problem here? How do they identify that?
Well, hopefully they're seeing the team regularly every year or every other year, depending on what stage they are in their and their general care with the other specialists on the team. But we should be involved with them at least annually, if not every 6 months, especially for those kids that we've got a lot of concerns with. If there's concerns on whether or not surgery is needed, we might ask the family to bring them in for a period of what we call diagnostic therapy. So a team therapist can really get in and kind of try and tease out some of those answers in a short period of time and figure out, maybe this isn't just speech related. Maybe we really need to get, you know, the surgeon involved in some, whatever we can do. We want to do least invasive, but we also want to do most efficient and effective program for these families so that these kids will be the most successful that they can be.
And so if parents want to find out more information about speech therapy and about CLEF kids and speech therapy, where do they go? How do they find more information on this topic?
You can contact, there's a parent section on the American Speech and Hearing Association. There's good information through the American CLEF Palate Association. But if you really want to be able to just sit down and actually get your specific questions answered and talked, then contacting your craniofacial team and get the name and number of the team speech pathologist so you can have a conversation. Sometimes it's just to get started answering some questions before you find out which direction you need to go.
Great. Well, Mary, thank you so much for your time. I really
appreciate
it. Absolutely.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you to Mary Warden and Dr. Jason Toronto for speaking a little bit more about speech pathology and CLEF palates. Remember, if you'd like more information, you can always go to www.chalk.org.